The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The following is intended for bizarre audiences only. Welcome to the Midnight Library. The Midnight Library would like to thank everyone at Astonishing Legends. Our excellent sound design is by Chris at Sounds Like an Earful. We are here because of our beautiful patrons who donate a little each month. We humbly ask you to please consider joining our Patreon, because what you choose to support will continue. What you do not, won't. And yes, there are even free memberships. Please visit patreon.com/midnightlibrary. That's where all the real magic happens. Find our weird presence on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And even our weirder merch at redbubble.com/people/midnightlibrary. Thank you.
Madam, I understand we're going ahead with tonight's offer from the League of Lady Gravediggers, correct?
Oh, yes. We're finally going to reveal that they offer the service of bejeweling your skeleton.
You do know our guests are going to want to know where the jewels they're getting are coming from, correct?
And you know what we always say about such things, correct? What's our motto?
People in hell want ice water too, but they aren't going to get it.
Perfect. Good evening. Yes, right this way. Oh my, so many familiar faces tonight. Oh, Miss Kayla, you've transformed. You've gone from being a beautiful blonde bombshell to a gorgeous goth goddess. You think there might be a spell on you. Oh my, but you're fine with it. Oh, well, that's good. I think this luscious darkness suits you much better. But then again, I'm severely biased. In any case, congratulations. Thank you all for being here, my dear guests. Well, everyone, please find your favorite spot in the reading room. If it's already taken, Well, just try out a new one. You'll notice we've added a few plump lounge chairs, just adjacent from the second fireplace. Their cushions all stuffed with shedded wolf fur. If you have allergies to such things, take a pill, I guess. Welcome to the Midnight Library, my dear guests. I am your not always so heavenly host, Miranda Merrick. Do you know, I happen to be reading in an ancient volume here on the origin of the word host just last night, and it's not as pleasing of a word from its roots as you might suppose. From the Old English word, osta, it is strangely meant as both guest and landlord. From this, we get the word host, meaning one who is bound by the ties of hospitality, one who entertains and cares for their guests. At the same time, from the same or nearly a similar origin, amazingly enough, the word host also means a stranger, an enemy, or an army or a multitude, as in a host or legion of evil beings bent on invading, ravaging, coercing, plundering, or even laying waste to their victims. I'm the first one. The first definition. Of course. Let me tell you about the hospitality tray. I hope you're in the mood for sweets, because tonight, Natasha has gone out of her way to provide you with her famous skeleton or skull-shaped cookies. Now, these are certainly not all that unusual, as many of you probably have little skull cookie cutters to make something similar around Halloween. But it's the special ingredients that Natasha uses in preparing her unique dough that makes these skull cookies solely delicious. No, I cannot reveal to you just what that special ingredient is. It's probably a special type of fine flour that she grinds herself, though, and is certainly just one of the many scrumptious components of the cookies. And these little deadheads are decorated with candy jewels to celebrate tonight's topic of bejeweled skeletons. Please be careful not to chip a tooth. Let us begin. Tonight's dazzling story is one I'm afraid that some might find to be a little unsettling. Some, that is, as it involves the altering of human remains. Just the bones, not the gushy bits. And not by abusing or destroying the remains, mind you, by reanimating them and enslaving them, or by burying them haphazardly or grinding the bones into a fine powder to make flour for baking cookies or anything. Nothing like that. These type of alterations to human skeletons is more decorative and even festive at times. This extravagant method of costuming was done as veneration, which we'll get to later. Let's begin slowly and gently. Let me ease you into it. In order to make this introductory part of the story more palatable, I've chosen to tell you about an orally ornate skeleton whose glittery additions were affixed to her during her lifetime. So, she was fine with it. See, isn't that nice? I'm sure you know that certain body modifications, especially with silver, gold, and jewels added to one's own teeth, are very popular in many cultures the world over today. But this idea is not even close to being anything new. And the set of human bones I'm about to tell you about proves this. She was discovered by archaeologists in modern times in Mexico, and her studded and unusual skull were a stunning and important find. The woman in her prime, which was sadly also the time of her death, is believed to have been 35 to 40 years old. But her remains, which are being studied, are believed to be 1,600 years old. She was found near the famed ruins of the city of Teotihuacan. Her elongated skull, a subject which perhaps we should talk about sometime, her elongated skull featured gemmed teeth. Her two top front teeth were beset with glinting pyrite crystals. During her lifetime, perfect round recesses were drilled out of the surface of the enamel of her front teeth, and the circular divots were then filled with the sparkling gold-toned mineral. It is not known precisely why this particular crystalline mineral was chosen for this particular lady, but I can tell you that for thousands of years, many cultures worldwide have considered pyrite to be a powerful substance. You'll even find it listed for use in alchemy in many books here. Well, I mean, you won't find it, but trust me, it's in there. Keeping pyrite or fool's gold close to the body, and this woman had it inside of her mouth. Doing this is said to generate a field of protection from negative forces to keep evil or even demons at bay. We don't use a lot of it around here. Pyrite was and is believed to strengthen or fortify the body with energy, as well as to draw good fortune, health, and wealth. What's curious about her other aforementioned characteristic, her modified large oblong skull, is that this reshaping of the skull was not something that was typically done in the region in which she was discovered. Researchers are fairly certain then that she was from a far-off place, a foreigner, an exotic visitor, or distinguished guest to the area in which she was buried. All signs point to this assumption being true, and it is bolstered by the fact that the very name of the place where she was buried has been known as the Barrio Oaxaca, meaning people from distant lands. Her uniqueness may even suggest that she may have been a seer, healer, or mystic. One more fascinating thing about this enigmatic, uncommon woman: she also had anchored in her mouth a singular solid stone tooth made from a serpentine gemstone, just as people typically have come to have today with implanted pearly white teeth to match their others. This lady had a hand-carved, bright green gemstone prosthetic tooth permanently affixed into her lower front jaw. And it was still in place in her head after 1600 years. See if your dentist offers this guarantee. The scientists studying her do not know just how this stone tooth was held in place. But they do know that this shiny green tooth was not put in her mouth after her death, because it even had a bit of tartar and wear marks on the surface of it, proving that she had used it to bite and chew. The Serpentine Gemstone is known for its protective powers, its healing nature, and its strong bond with nature, energy, and wisdom. Speaking of wisdom, tonight's reading in the Midnight Library is brought to you by the League of Lady Gravediggers. Of course. Worried you'll leave a boring corpse? We know why you might think it. The ladies'll jazz your bones right up with gems and jewels and trinkets. Big Lou has a big glue gun, and Barbie has gold wire. The Gravediggers have a huge craft kit, and all of it's for hire. Fancy is as fancy does. Be regal while you're dead. How about a gem-studded crown, hot glued right to your head? Jen's real good at drilling teeth and putting pearls on them that shine. Order a sequined vest or cape, stapled right to your spine. Don't let your carcass go without. Get bling that's fun to wear. Even if you're the modest type, they'll bedazzle your underwear. Don't worry where the jewels came from. Just sign your bill and pay. The ladies'll jazz your bones right up for your appearance on Judgment Day. If you dream of leaving a star-studded corpse, contact the League of Lady Gravediggers today. Full disclosure, the manner in which your bones are defleshed is not disclosed. All damages to your skeleton by way of strapping, wrapping, stapling, nailing, winding, binding, gluing, and screwing are inevitable. No refunds or returns because, ew. Get your bones their eternal sacred stones. Call 976-DITCH-WITCHES. So, let us talk of human bones, dripping with gold and precious jewels. You're ready, right? Here we go. My lovelies, we all know that it's not unusual for people everywhere, from the earliest known cultures to present times, to want to bury their loved ones with sacred, useful, meaningful, or even treasured items. Fancy King Tut probably comes to mind. But even we were a bit surprised to learn just how far those in charge of the bones of some saints were willing to go. It's very likely there are countless elaborately decorated skeletons buried in places no one will ever find, sadly. But a few of these that I'm about to tell you of, you can see with your very own living eyeballs. Just a few important notes for context. First, we extend no judgment for the adornment of these sets of human remains. Only a deep and profound fascination. And, B, as far back as 1578, thousands of remains thought to be early Christian martyrs were found in Rome and given to churches and institutions in Europe, where they may have been repurposed as saints to replace the actual saintly relics that were sadly destroyed during the Protestant Reformation. It is written that, and I quote, "The church also believed that the bones of martyrs cast off a golden glow and a faintly sweet smell. from Smithsonian Magazine, they explained, noting that teams of psychics would journey through the corporeal tunnels and slip into a trance and point out the skeletons which they perceived to have this telling aura. My, oh my, so unless you are psychic, your personal experience in viewing these remains may vary. The fantastical costuming and jewel spangling of these dead is believed to represent to the public the spiritual glory that may await the faithful after their own death. Sadly, several of these relics were deemed to be too eerie, too grotesque for everyday viewing, and some have been moved into storage or hidden behind tapestries, away from shrinking daisies who cannot handle such things. My dear guests, we see these skeletons as beautiful. Believe it or not, there were actually too many bejeweled skeletons to describe in detail for you here, all in one go. So I've chosen for you several that I think you'll find captivating enough to look up and have a peek at for yourself. First, we have Saint Luciana from Eilekruzko, Germany. Saint Luciana's remains were said to have arrived at the convent in Eilekruzko in the mid-18th century or 1700s, and she was lovingly prepared for display by the nuns there. The saint's entire reclining skeleton is lavishly dressed from her gold-leaf head to her velvety slippered toes in richly embroidered gleaming textiles with gold lace netting, flowing ribbons, intricately beaded flowers, and twisting sparkling vines. Her skull wears what appears to be a luxuriously long blonde wig with cascading ringlets. Saint Luciana's shiny head of hair is interwoven with pearls and jewels that surround her unusually expressive skeletal face. Many of these dead have had layers of wax applied to their faces to give the idea of flesh, and Saint Luciana has thin lips and bears a very broad smile. She also presents serenely relaxed eyelids, from which inset stony blue eyes stare outward. A wispy net-like veil covers her esoteric face. Saint Luciana can be found in a small museum not far from the church in Eilekruzko, Germany. This bejeweled skeleton was moved to the museum when she was deemed too startling to view in the main church. Next, I present to you Saint Diodatus, or perhaps Diodatus, from Renau, Switzerland. This truly old saintly relic dates back to the mid-600s, but was not formally adorned by a group of enthusiastic nuns until the late 17th century. Diodatus was a bishop who established a monastery. After choosing to relinquish his bishop title later in life, he became a hermit who lived alone in a single room. He is noted to have been a martyr for his faith, but it is unclear just how this came about. One thing is certain about Saint Diodatus. Once you see him, you will never forget him. one of the few fully upright, seated, bejeweled skeletons. Deodatus sits triumphantly upon a bright red and gold throne-like chair. Tucked in his own intricately brilliant alcove, surrounded by flowing gold-embroidered robes. His gray bony hands could be either wax-covered or false hands. In his right hand, he steadies a long and wavy sword that stands upright by his exceptionally large stone-like feet. His left arm, permanently risen, offers a splendid gold chalice. In times past, many martyrs presenting such vessels were said to be offering their own shed blood within these stately cups. Many of these decorated remains have their bare bones of their ribs exposed, but Deodatus's entire upper body is encased in shiny, form-fitting armor. From his waist down, he wears a kind of heavy red woven skirt that resembles a very expensive jeweled rug. It flares out over his knees and rests over the arms of his regal chair. But St. Deodatus's most astonishing feature is his head. Well, his skull. He's the most lifelike that I've seen. Kind of. He has a full head of loose, wavy brown hair and wears a thick crown of green gilded laurel leaves. Behind his head, a gleaming golden sun with pointed rays gives him a holy and hallowed appearance. But it's his wax-laden face, complete with jewel-studded eyebrows and a scrolling beaded beard, that entrants you like no other. The crafty nuns appear to have also given him brown eyes made of clay and fashioned a hole in the finely beaded beard material so as to expose his startlingly white teeth. Now, it must have occurred to you to think, I wonder where all those pious nuns got all of those jewels and fancy costumes and gold everything to wrap these questionable saints in. Well, my lovelies, I wondered this too, and after a little digging, I discovered that the more than fancy clothing and jewels was often donated to the church from the local nobility just for such projects. Perhaps they were trying to buy their way into heaven. Who can say? This last sequined skeleton I chose for you because of the unusual bit of ghostly lore that follows him. Having been alive and very spiritually active during the 7th century, the dry-boned skeleton of St. Maximus arrived in 1682 at a local parish church in Bergen, Germany. Even before he was dressed in his gold and silver armor, his bones began to emit or leach out a strange yellow but sweetly fragrant substance. Supposedly, these sorts of happenings were not uncommon features of true saints. And Saint Maximus looks as though he's more than prepared to dash into the fray of a frightful and glorious holy war. Like a long-dead hero, his standing skeleton is gallantly dressed in the most dazzling, jewel-encrusted, gleaming armor. From his gilded clamshell alcove, Saint Maximus presents a golden-plumed writing quill in his right hand, while his left drives the tip of his golden sword into the raised black onyx platform on which he stands. His armor is cut away in the center to show his bony rib cage. He too has a wax-coated face, covered in flowery beaded veil material, with garish flowers right over his eye sockets. And again, with the mouth exposed, and in his case, slightly open, as though it's a courtesy, in case he might like to speak. Oh, and my favorite part. Saint Maximus's ghost was long believed to take the form of a large white feral cat. The white cat was often seen by residents of the village as it prowled the streets. The villagers believed this was the ghost of Saint Maximus, looking in on the residents, and perhaps protecting them. If you are curious about these embellished sets of bones, and I hope you are, please simply search Bejeweled Skeletons. I'd also like to recommend a book called Heavenly Bodies, Cult Treasures and Spectacular Saints from the Catacombs by Paul Koudinaris, Koudinaris. It's a wonderful book of brilliant close-up photos of tons of bejeweled skeletons. Well, maybe not actual tons. Skeletons famously don't weigh much. Although all of the gold and gems probably add up and... Irma, let Mom... let me finish the reading, babe. What? What is that? A bag of mud. Irma, Oh, muddy jewels. Oh. Ooh, pearls. They must have been donated to the library from the local nobility, just as I was telling you about, but dropped first in the mud. Clumsy delivery person thing. Irma, I'll look at them in a minute, sugar booger. Yes. No, you have them. You pull the hair off and stuff. Go on. You can keep it. where were we? Oh, I was just putting you out. I mean, seeing you off. please, my dear guest, please let our dashing Mr. Darling escort you safely outside and down from the veranda. Oh, please mind the open graves. If you remember to look for them. Good night, my dear guests. Good night. Did you lock the door behind the guest, darling?
Oh, yes. I do believe I saw Mr. Bumpton fall into an open grave, though. Should we be charitable and go help him back out?
Well, that depends on when the ghouls last had a nice treat.
Ah, well, in that case, I recommend we check on him in the morning.
I'm available closer to noon.
I'm afraid my schedule is only open tomorrow evening.
Let's agree to check on him next week.
Yes, we'll be very charitable next week.
The Midnight Library would like to thank everyone at Astonishing Legends. Our excellent sound design is by Chris at Sounds Like an Earful. We are here because of our beautiful patrons who donate a little each month. We humbly ask you to please consider joining our Patreon, because what you choose to support will continue. What you do not, won't. And yes, there are even free memberships. Please visit patreon.com/midnightlibrary. That's where all the real magic happens. Find our weird presence on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And even our weirder merch at redbubble.com/people/midnightlibrary. Thank you.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.